Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Will you please welcome the creator of the Elderly James Bond Chronicles, is Richard Herring! Thank you very much. Hello. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast, or as all the cool kids are calling it, Rahel Estepa. Still got to read it off a piece of paper. It's the worst acronym ever. We've got a fantastic guest for you today, a packed audience, including some women. So it's very exciting for me. We've had a hell of a lot of fun before you all got here at home. I tell you, unbelievable with water. Oh, man. Pardon? And the sextant. Don't forget the sextant joke. That was the highlight for the medieval sailor in the fourth row. So it's not a usual heckle you get. And the sextant. Don't forget the fucking sextant. I can guarantee no one's ever been heckled with that recently. But we'll have a guest on in a bit later on. Someone here will have the chance to win some very exciting prizes, including the reprint of my book, Talking Cock. Yeah, very exciting. Two tickets to the next podcast. There's a week off for the Queen's rubbish silver jubilee, because it's 60 years. That's a rubbish silver jubilee. There'll be David Baddiel and Nick Frost are the guests next time. So do come on. There are still some tickets if you want to come along and see that, or you can just listen for free at home. Oh, you didn't realise that, most of the people. Oh, what? You can get, of course, Elliot Lyne's very clever puzzle compendium, volume one. I found out we can get that for people at home later on. Andrew Collins' audio book. A lot of people have come just for the hope of winning that. And AI Ottima. See, that was a proper complete on there. So that's fun. And talking, I think the Queen's Diamond Jubilee is a bit of a... we're taking the week off because of it next week, and I'm annoyed about it. She had 60 years on the throne. I'm not going to get caught out by this, because I celebrated her Silver Jubilee in 1977. We made a big fuss, street parties. Now, the 60 years, we went much too early. I'm going to wait until the Queen dies, and then I will celebrate then when we know how many years she's done. She can't keep on having jubilees. We've wasted it. Do you remember 1977? Yeah. How old were you in 1977? You weren't born, were you? I was 10 years old. It was brilliant. We got a mug and a coin that probably is worth about £5,000 now. That I hope you get one of those, a silver jubilee crown. Yeah, old style money. I'm not that old. Decimal currency had come in. Tony Blair's been on the telly again today. Anyone see him on TV today? Someone heckled him, said he was a war criminal. That's not as good as the sextant one, was it? Well, he wouldn't have coped with that. Easy go with the war. No, I'm not a war criminal. Sex them. What the fuck? That's how you get them. Then you come in war criminal and you've got them underneath. I know he always does this with his hands, doesn't he? Your people here can see what I mean, but you know what I mean at home. And I wonder if he's kind of been modelling his whole career on Kermit the Frog. Because that's his exact. He's thinking, if I move like Kermit the Frog, will everyone like me as much as they like Kermit the Frog? But Kermit the Frog did not start many wars, but has possibly had sex with a pig. So, which will bring us on to our guest, funny enough. But not that he's had sex with a pig. Oh, he wrote about the Prime Minister having sex with a pig. This week I've been on Just a Minute. It's not been out yet, but I went to Bridlington to appear in Just a Minute. You know, Just a Minute, the Radio 4 clever, clever shows. I got told off by Nicholas Parsons for interrupting too much. Which I kind of thought was the point, right? I thought you were meant to buzz in, and he said, you're being very pedantic. I said, you've done this over 45 fucking years, Nicholas Park. Isn't that the point? The people of Bedell. It was very exciting to do. He's been in show business for 7 decades. He's worked, that's incredible. And he's still 88 years old. He's still going. That's what I'm hoping to do. That's my plan. There's 2 ways to go to become famous. You either burn out and die young, which I think I'm just getting a bit too old for now. See, I think 45 people go, oh, that's a shame. Still not young enough for us. 27, that's the age you've got to be, and then they all go at 27. Jimi Hendrix, he looked like me, but not quite as good looking. Or just stay alive till everyone else is dead, and then you can rewrite showbiz history, which is what Nicholas Parsons has done. But he's an amazing man. And I was watching the BAFTAs last night on TV, which just makes me furiously angry, mainly through jealousy. Because I know I'll never... It's like something's been set up, designed to rub everyone else's successes in my face. Because they're all these people winning awards. And to me, it's like, these are people who already are successful because they're on TV, they're in successful TV shows, and they're millionaires. And then they have to have a little award ceremony at the end where someone gives them a prize as well. It's like someone saying, you're the richest person in the country, well done. You've won £1 million extra. Well done. Then they're all... But it was I enjoyed it just for the sake of... Stuart Lee won an award, which is ridiculous. I mean, imagine how many awards he'd win if I was still with him. He's just done that on his own. If I was Charlie Brooker, I'd be ashamed. He's been beaten by just Stuart Lee. Not even Lee and Herring, just one on their own. That's terrible for him. But yeah, Mrs. Brown's Boys won at the BAFTA. That has slightly devalued the BAFTA for me. And Keith Lemon won a pretend BAFTA, which... They gave him like a plastic one to take away. But again, these people shouldn't be winning BAFTAs. But anyway, I'm very jealous, and I might talk to Charlie Brooker about. He was there. He was right there, seeing it all and losing. So, in a way, who's the real loser here? Me sitting at home doing what I want. For him having to go in, dress up, and look like an idiot. So yes. Anyway, I think we might move on. I was much funnier when the bit they didn't record. It's a shame, but I saw a fight on. I was in Bungay on Sun, yeah, on Saturday night. I travel around. I was in Bridlington Friday, Bungay on Saturday. Wasn't even working. I just like to travel around, go to places that are similar named to rainbow characters. That's why I'm going to Georgetown. Going to Zeppotron, the offices of Zeppotron. I realise now there's a man in the front row who wasn't alive in 1977. Most of my references mean nothing to you. Jeffreyville? Rod, Jane and... Where was I? Yeah, I saw a fight. There was a fight. We were in quite a nice pub, and there were me and my wife, who does exist. Very nice hair. She's got lovely hair. And we were just having a drink, and some men started fighting at 9 o'clock in Bungay. There's nothing else to do. And they were right in the bar, fighting, pummeling each other on the floor. It was quite exciting. And there was women saying, you know, leave it, get turned home, leave it, and doing all that. But there was a man saying, not inside. Which, that's what... Come on, boy. Not even angry, just, come on, boys, not inside. As if they'd gone outside and punched each other in the face, it would have been... I kind of like the code of bar fighting there. Oh, you've really let yourself down there, fellas, with the punching each other inside the pub. Go outside! They didn't kick them out or anything. That's how they live in Suffolk/Norfolk. I'm not quite sure which one it is. I think it's Suffolk. Thank you. It is Suffolk. I've got the Hive Wikipedia mind here. Very close to Norfolk, though, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, you know, you could be just take 2 minutes walk, you'd be over the border into Norfolk, wouldn't you? Too close. It's too close. Have I discovered an East Anglian feud going on? Let's hope there's no one in from Norfolk. It could get nasty. But remember, if you do have a fight with them, outside, please. So, not inside. That's the way it goes. Anyway, look, there was probably loads more I had to talk about. Engelbert Humperdinck did well, didn't he? He did all right. Second last. Given that his song was a pile of shit, I don't know why anyone didn't say this before. It's the most forgettable, cliche-ridden load of claptrap. It's like a song from the 1950s before he even started singing. It's like, go back and sing this old-time ballad. That'll get them going. He was meant to be the oldest person who'd ever been in Eurovision. That's what they thought when they booked him. And then one of those old grannies who baked cakes was about 2 months older than him. Looks better than them, though, doesn't he? So there you go. At least he's won. If you had to have sex with Engelbert Humperdinck or one of those old babushka grannies from Russia, which would you take? The babushka granny, yeah, but that's my audience. Andy, who would you choose? The grannies, fucking hell, as well. There's more of them. That's good value. How many holes do you need? How many dried up, moistureless holes do you need before your lust is satiated? Yeah, I went there, sister. So, anyway, will you please welcome our next guest? He is best known as a contributor to the 1980s magazine Oink. That's what I know him best for. He is not as good as Stuart Lee, even on his own. Embarrassing. Mrs. Brown and Keith Lemon have both got more BAFTAs than him. They've got infinity more BAFTAs than the two of us put together. Will you please welcome the incredible Charlie Brooker, ladies and gentlemen? He's coming through the heart. There he is. Charlie Brooker.
Hello.
How are you doing? How are you feeling? You all right?
Oh, yeah, I'm just amazed with the ease with which I opened this bottle of water. saw you earlier trying to open a bottle. It was pathetic.
That was all part of it. It's my routine that I'm working up.
OK. How are you?
I'm all right. I've been talking to you backstage for quite a long time, so yeah. I thought you'd have established.
Shall I go?
Yeah. I tell you, backstage was fucking gold. If we can get halfway... Now for the stuff we were talking about.
If you were going to fuck the babushka and grannies, which order would you do them in? Like, would you save the best-looking one for last so that you could build up?
Yeah.
Or would you use her as a way in to get you into it?
I think with the Russian babushka, you've got to do them in order of size, so you can put the little one inside the next, the big one.
Yes.
Then the next one.
If you could put them all inside each other, you could fuck them all at the same time.
That's the final go.
How many? Six cunts. Six. all at once. And a babushka cunt.
Yes.
Should we start again?
It's like the Russian human centipede. That's what we're going for.
Nice.
With more lubricant. Are you celebrating the Golden Diamond Jubilee, Silver Jubilee?
No, I didn't realise it was next
yeah,
week.
Yeah, it is.
Is it? Next weekend?
Yeah.
When is it?
I think next week. I don't know. There must be a specific time and date where she hits 60 bang on.
What, do we have to hit it to the minute? Is it her real... No, hang on. It's since she got on the throne, is it? It's not one of her birthdays a year. Two birthdays and a jubilee. No, it's not one of those.
Is it of the coronator? Let's ask the Wikipedia hive mind. Let's see if old Mr. Bungay is as clever with a question like that. Is it the 60th anniversary of her father dying? I don't think it is, because that happened recently, didn't it? That was February, so yeah, there you go. February the 6th, thank you. They're amazing, aren't they? Your fans are slightly diluting the Wikipedia hype. Usually, it's all as fucking one. It's the Borg. It's just, yes, February the 6th, 1952. She was on the treetops in Kenya.
Is this the people who do Wikipedia?
They just are Wikipedia. They have to have a night off. If you try and do a Wikipedia while this has been recorded,
how fast does a leopard run? Hopeless. Completely unreliable.
Well, they're not. They've been... How many? 56 miles per hour.
We've got nothing to check. What are we going to check that against?
Honestly, it is. That's like... When Wikipedia was that? It is, honestly. I think it is. Yeah, I think it's since she actually sat on King Edward the I's throne. Yeah, I've got a little bit in there. Up in Westminster Abbey, there's a big old chair in there.
I haven't been in there.
They used to have the Stone of Skin.
Are you having a stroke?
We stole the Stone of Skin from the Scottish, and then we made. Then we coronated all of our kings and queens on it to rub it in their faces that they were.
Sorry,
ours.
I thought I should act then because I thought it was genuinely like one of those commercials where they say the symptoms of a stroke are this. Rush in and help someone. Because I thought you were just having a fit at me then. What the fuck was that? Was that Scottish?
That was my perfect Scott impression of a Scottish. That's all they say. I go to Edinburgh every year, that's all that happens when I'm up. People in the audience are shouting that out.
How do you know that's not a threat?
kind of is. So, Jesus. Yeah, 60 years is the answer to your question since she was coronated. Little Prince Charles was looking up at her, wide-eyed.
Must have been nice.
Yeah.
How old was he
then? I think about 6 or 7. No, 4 years old, says...
That must be weird. If that was one of your earliest memories, was of your mum being coronated, that must fuck with your head.
Not as bad as the grandchildren of the babushka ladies. Their first memory is going to be something pretty unpleasant after you finish.
Well, especially if one in the middle of this babushka doll was pregnant, and you, as you were born, you had to come through 6 other vaginas on the way. That would be like a real. You'd be really strong as a baby by the time you'd clawed through 6 fannies.
Presumably they would also have to go through the assholes of the to get to the fanny. I don't know why Nicholas Parsons thought I was pedantic. But you'd have to go into the anus, swim through.
That sounds like a terrible thing you say in bed. Of course, you have to go through the anus to get to the vagina. That's what you say, isn't it, Richard Herring?
You have to go right up through the intestines, up to the esophagus, and then back down again.
Oh, Jesus.
Until you find the womb.
Should we start again?
No, I don't think so.
Really? Genuinely, shall we? Yeah, okay.
We're allowed to say anything we like on here. It's not okay. Like your 10 o'clock show, 11 o'clock show, whatever it's called.
10 o'clock?
Yeah. Okay.
10 o'clock. Yeah, well,
where
we're allowed.
Handcuff you.
Well, no, we're allowed to say what we want.
Yeah, but you choose not to.
No, you're given a lawyer comes out at the start of each series and reminds you that if you say the wrong thing, you could go to jail. Genuinely. You know, say what you like, have a crazy time out there, have fun. You could end up in jail. So you've constantly got that in your head. Or thinking that you might scream something racist. Or make a joke about Ian Huntley or something like that on air. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's hilarious. You could say the most terrible career-ending things live. Mm. So that is quite frightening.
Well, you can say them here, we'll record them, and then we'll put them out. There's no lawyers here to check you'll be all right.
I could just be in prison. Say them as statements. Yes, slow, considered statements.
And anyway, look, let's move. It seems we're talking about children coming out of old women's dried up vaginas.
Yes.
Let's not talk about your child right away.
Caesarean, actually.
Was it us there? Did you insist on that?
No!
Sorry, Connie.
that was weird because they do it like a mad. I won't go on about child, but it's so fucking boring when you don't have kids and anyone else. Whenever people used to mention babies to me before I had one, I was just like, "Oh, fuck you and your kids!" Like in that order. Fuck you while your kids watch, so they know what's coming for them. That's the way. If you're going to do it, surely that's the way to do it. So I won't go on. No, but it's weird. A cesarean birth is like a weird magic trick because they put up a white sheet. They put up a sheet and they, or a blue sheet, doesn't matter. Or the colour of the sheet is fucking irrelevant. I don't know why I
recommend red.
What, for to catch all the gore?
So it won't get stained, will it? It'll last longer.
They don't use red sheets in hospitals very much. No,
I suppose you can't spot the blood. Most episodes of House involve someone shitting or bleeding on a sheet. If their sheets were red, House would never know anything was wrong with anyone.
Just people would just be dying all around him. No, but they do genuinely bring up a sheet and then they pull it down to show you a baby. Like, because it could be a terrible con. They could be stealing. Maybe it's not my baby. They could steal it in that moment. There's a sheet up. I don't know. They could go and get a baby they don't want from out the back that someone dumped in a bin or something. Bring it and go, there's yours. For a terrible experiment. Maybe that's what's going on. Because he seems quite well adjusted so far. So maybe that's what's going on.
Give him 10 years.
Give him 10 years. Okay, fucking hell, I'll give him more than that. Supposed to be a responsible parent.
So anyway, look, you met your wife in a quite an unusual way. The first time, I believe, is that she was a guest on your show, Screen Wife.
Nearly. Well, that was probably one of the first times we actually spent any time, really, where she wasn't just trying to run away from me. We did a Screen Wipe, a sort of special episode where we did a mock mission documentary, which was kind of like those things where they used to do a thing where it would be like, Trini and Susanna try to get Britain naked so we can come to terms with our bodies by getting everyone to strip off and lie on a hill. And we did a spoof one of those, which was about a subject I know is dear to your heart.
Yes.
Which is, to use the medical term, pyuresis.
Yeah.
Pyuresis, which is the...
Yes, woman nodding there. That is definitely right.
Or shycock.
Yes.
Which is the fear of urinating next to another...
Which 31% of men have, according to my survey.
31% of men.
One in three.
Unable to wee in the... Yeah, and so we did a sort of mock thing where we gathered together. We got some guys who couldn't wee, and we did lots of... And it culminated in a lot of men standing on a hill, urinating in front of Connie.
Yeah, and that's when you fell in love with each other.
I thought, well, if she'll put up with that... I mean, they did genuinely... We weren't mucking around. They really were.
I saw it.
We filled them with water and beer.
Made them wee.
And drove them up the top of a hill on a really rainy day and got them all to piss.
The question is, did you do this with more women than just Connie Huck? Was this like... This is the final test.
Like
most
audition.
Of them walked away. He wants me to watch 30 men urinate in front of him. But only Connie Huck stays.
She was prepared to put up with. No, it was that was a very odd day. Definitely a very, very strange event. It was a really depressing day because it was really rainy and cold. And it's just, you're watching a load of men piss on a hill. There's no way, I won't make it sound glamorous. It wasn't. No, it was really depressing. But you know, I guess I got something out of it.
Very nice. So, well, it's living the dream as well, marrying... I think, like, if you grew up in the late 70s, early 80s, mm-hmm. marrying a Blue Peter presenter would be pretty... It's either Doctor Who companion... I believe, for me, it was Janet Ellis. If I could have married Janet Ellis,
Janet
I'd been
Ellis.
Very, 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 very happy.
If you'd married Janet Ellis, then Sophie Ellis-Bextor would have been hanging around a lot as well, wouldn't she?
She would.
Wouldn't you have thought?
She might have been my daughter, though, so then I don't know what you're suggesting. But she would.
Well, come on. I mean, come on. Still, if it was Sophie Ellis-Bextor was your daughter.
Well, I quite fancy.
Come on.
You would. You probably would.
You monster. That was a trap that you walked into. You're a horrible man.
I am horrible.
Of course you wouldn't.
Well, I've been born at the wrong time. For Janet Ellis, I was like, obviously, I was about 10 years old mm-hmm. when she was of a marriageable age. Sophie Ellis-Bextor, I was sort of 40 years old when she was... So I've missed out. And then I'm hoping Sophie Ellis-Bextor will have a girl child soon.
She
that when I'm 80 years old, then that can be my next...
I think she does have a kid.
I think they're boys, though, which is fine. I mean, if it comes down, if there's no choice.
No, you know what, though? By the time you're 80, there'll be technology that means you can put sort of Google glasses on or something, and Sophie Ellis-Bextor's son can be a woman. And so you can, and you can have, and there'll be like fantasy orifices that don't exist that are not like.
Will this technology just be specifically invented for me to have sex with so Ellis-Bextor's son?
Well, that's something you're waiting
for. Seems an odd technology to come up with. Let's invent something that will make Sophie Ellis-Bextor's son temporarily female. That'll sell a lot. Yeah, I'm sure that will. A lot of people will go. It's very much aimed at me. The market is me.
You mock that, but you've got to have something to wait for.
I'm definitely buying it.
Exactly. the target audience, presumably, is ripe for that sort of thing. No, you'll be able to do... I mean, God knows what you'll be doing when you're 80.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll be able to have sex with any sort of thing that's in your head and using a computer.
I'm unable to do that already. It's called imagination. Right. The beautiful thing of imagination, which allows me to imagine all three generations of the Ellis-Bextor's female women the same age and lezzing up with each other. It's a beautiful thing, and no one gets hurt. It's in my imagination,
As long as I don't say it out loud, no, and record it and post
and
it.
Post it to
Sophie Ellis Spector and her mum. I'm friends with Janet Ellis now. It's very confusing for me. I didn't go.
Is she turned on by this kind of talk?
Yeah, she loves it.
Right, okay, good. So you know Janet Ellis?
I met Janet Ellis. We've become friends.
Mm-hmm.
But no, not anything more than that. She's very happily married. But I still would... Sorry, we're allowed a little list, right? My wife likes the bloke from Lost, Sawyer from Lost. He's no Richard Herring, is he? Some other idiots. I like quite a lot of gingers on my list. I've got Lily Cole, Amy Pond from Doctor Who. Yeah. And now I'm going to put three generations of Janet Ellis's listening to.
Aren't they all about these women are about nine? What are you confessing to? Is this therapy or something? Lily Cole looks about nine, doesn't she? I mean,
she was nine, she did. I don't know what you. She's now a grown-up woman of at least 23 years age. And if it is wrong for a 44-year-old man to imagine violating a 23-year-old supermodel.
Maybe I think she's younger than she...
Well, your wife looks very young. What's your problem?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to just... Yeah, but come on, Lily Cole, that's just sick.
I was at a party once with her and Rachel from S Club 7. I just couldn't choose which one to chat up. So They both lost out that night. I was going to sort of ask if they'd both... fancied coming back with me together. I wish I'd taken the punt, you know, now. You never know, do you?
What? You do wonder about that, though. I remember seeing a guy walking down Kilburn High Street just shouting at women, like, I like your tits, at women. I like your tits. Suck my cock, like that. And I thought, God, you know, he's mad. But presumably, one time out of 1,000, that works. One time out of 1,000, somebody goes, yeah.
That's all you need.
Like, okay. Pavlovian, okay, all right, oh, I've got shopping to do. But, maybe it works. I don't know. Does it?
You seem to know an awful lot about it. That's all.
I wouldn't have thought it.
This man, you've got a voice worked out for him. The things he says.
This character.
The street. The place it all occurs. Well, that's good. Cause I met Connie. She was in the when I did an Oxford Cambridge boat race celebrity TV program, which is one of the only one of these I've done. I could be in Bolivia now with Phil Jupitus right now instead of talking to you. I chose to talk to you instead.
Really?
Yeah. What driving around on dangerous roads, but I've chosen. I thought I can't let Charlie Brooker down. He's so looking forward to coming onto my podcast.
Why were you going to Bolivia?
There's a program.
Are you running cocaine across the border?
There's a program called The World's Most Dangerous Roads, and I was asked to go in a car with Phil Jupitus.
Can I point out that maybe that's a worrying program to take part in?
That was my main reason.
That's like the world's most badly fitted plug sockets or something. Like, you don't want to surely go near a show like that, because you know that I don't think people really do, but I don't think health and safety has gone far enough. That's how paranoid I am.
That's why they have to go to Bolivia, because you're allowed to do anything you want over there with Phil Jupitus. I could have taken Phil Jupitus out. Would it have been worth like a suicide mission to drive over a cliff with Phil Jupitus, like Thelma and Louise, in order to take out Phil Jupitus? Phil Jupitus, you know, I'm saying not, definitely not worth it. I also like myself.
What's so dangerous about the road?
Nothing, I think, really. They shoot it. It's like a load of... It's like sort of Top Gear with middle-class people who are a bit more left-wing.
What are they on Top Gear, for fuck's sake?
It seemed like a bad idea.
Right, yeah, no, that sounds
But I'd have been
scary.
Paid loads of money rather than sitting in here
talking to you. We can simulate a dangerous road if you want. We can get people to run past quickly.
Don't worry, the stuff we'll be simulating later on if I have my way from the early chat that maybe you missed. But you used to do a website about kind of that was parodying the idea of terrible TV.
Yes.
TV go home.
Yeah.
And then TV became sort of more ridiculous than the stuff you were writing and you had to stop. Is that pretty much what happened?
I used to do this website that was like a parody of the Radio Times, which is something that was always in comedy books when I was growing up as a kid. You'd like get the Spitting Image comedy book or something, there'd be a spoof page of the Radio Times. So I did this thing that was fortnightly, and it was mainly mainly a kind of disciplinary exercise on my own, because I wasn't really doing anything. I thought, if I do something that's quite easy once a fortnight, I'll feel like I'm achieving something in my life. So I was sort of doing this thing every fortnight, and it kind of took off. But then I remember switching on... because of doing that, it was doing that that led to me getting a job at The Guardian, reviewing TV for real.
Yeah.
And one week, the show I had to look at was called Touch the Truck. which was a show with Dale Winton, and it took place in the Lakeside Shopping Centre, Thurrock, and it was members of the public having to stand around a truck with their hands on it, and they had to stand there holding their hands on the truck, and the rule was simple. There was only one rule, which is whoever's still awake the longest wins the truck. That was it. And it went on for days. It was literally a sleep deprivation contest. And eventually, after a while, you start dreaming while you're awake. And so there were people swatting demons. And at that point, I thought, there's no point in me writing any parodies.
Were they keeping their hand on the truck while they were swatting? They were swatting demons, thinking, but I must keep my hand on this. There's a demon there. But I mustn't lose the opportunity to have this.
Maybe they were headbutting deep. It was really weird. It was you were allowed to psych each other out. I remember that. So it was constantly. It was mainly footage of people with one hand on a truck turning to somebody else going, "You're about to fall asleep. You're going to take your hand off this truck, you fucking loser." It was very, very, very strange. And it did make me think I couldn't possibly come up with something like that.
It is weird. Because I used to write on The Hour, which became The Day Today, which is obviously with Chris Morris in it as well, as some of the stuff you've worked on. But that was when it got to TV. That was so sort of ridiculous. And then you look at news now, and you go, that is the same as The Day Today. That's those graphics. Have they not seen The Day Today? You see Jeremy Vine sort of walking along a. Pushing sort of things that are down, wheelbarrows down hills or something.
There was a weird thing. There was a weird thing when Raoul Moat was running around, where they ran adverts for Raoul Moat on Sky News. They ran adverts saying, kind of effectively saying, "See more of Raoul Moat. He's out there. He's crazy. He could do anything. Stay tuned." And at that point, you think, this can't be good for our heads. As a people, this can't be good for us.
No.
Basically, what we're saying here is nobody should ever try to parody anything, because then it becomes true.
Just encourages idiots to do
the
it.
The world.
It'd be hard to think of things that are kind of more ridiculous. I think, like, if you're going to do that, if you're going to do TV, Go Home Now, it kind of would be more.
Well, my theory as it was, my not massively interesting theory, was that I was of a certain generation. And I think that, that's the sort of thing that you find funny. It was funny to write down that these were transgressive ideas that would never appear on television. Yeah. That was the inherent joke. And then I think that everybody else, that basically it was that generation that became... that started holding the reins of power in television and felt the same way. So you'd get shows that were like Banzai, which I remember there was a show called Banzai, which was sort of celebrities doing weird stunts. There was something like Peter Purvis having his scrotum weighed. And that's like hilarious when you're a certain... But then those people just got more and more powerful in television. Then you got things like I'm a Celebrity, where I couldn't have foreseen that you'd be watching somebody from Busted eating a kangaroo anus live on ITV becomes mainstream entertainment. That's fucked up.
Imagine if you could have predicted that. Imagine if you'd written that down.
In a Back to the Future style, gone back and seen the 14-year-old me and written down one day, a guy from a band called Busted, doesn't matter, just write that down, will eat a kangaroo's anus. Yeah, William Hill would have given you incredible odds on that. It's sort of sick, isn't it, I'm a Celebrity?
It is, yeah, it's awful. So, me and Connie did this Oxford Cambridge boat race, which was I thought at the time I was.
Is that a euphemism?
I only had 20 men pissing, and it wasn't enough for her. I said, "Look on the banks there."
She must have been the cox, presumably.
She was the cox, yeah. And she nearly she caused a terrible accident, and someone got nearly badly hurt. So she's my enemy. But actually, because I was in the Oxford boat, and she was in the Cambridge boat. And they were so brilliant, these guys, these professional rowers would get you so G'd up, So I started really hating everyone in the Cambridge boat, seriously, especially Grub Smith, who is now one of my friends. And Toby Young was in my boat.
Right.
And he was part of my team. And I almost quite liked him. That's how powerful. Subsequently, Jesus. I've come to realise how foolish
coaches.
I was. Yeah. So we were rowing against each other. Then when we got to the actual competition bit of it, we had Jonathan Aitken was our cox, right? Which I don't think was fair. Because Connie Huck is like, what, 3'2", something like that, like a child. And Jonathan Aitken was like Gandalf. He was like 7 foot tall. He had magic, had a sword of truth with him everywhere he went. It weighed him down. And so he was our cox. And that didn't seem fair, and they wouldn't let us balance up in any way.
So this... Well, hang on a minute.
Did she not told you all about this?
She said to her, "Oh, I was a cox once," and I went, "What?" Shut up. So she was.
It's all true.
Was this wasn't a dream you had. This actually... Because it does sound like a dream you had.
Because Connie Huck, I'm going to call her, because for me she's just a celebrity, not your wife. Because she steered the boat incorrectly. I hit someone in her team in the head with an oar. And it's her fault. I could have been sent to prison. I could have gone down for that, and it was her fault.
Good. She was psyching you out.
I'm she was surprised like killing that, one of her team.
You were saying that there's rowing coaches who made you... But surely all they do is go, shout, row! I've seen, like, gladiator movies and shit. Like, they just whip you, don't they? There's not much
whip,
complex went. Psychology involved with rowing a boat.
There is.
Pull that oar. Come on, do it properly. Row some more. Come on. You can row.
It was that.
Is that really what? Jesus Christ.
Anyway, she was such. I like her now.
Good.
But
you hated her.
I wanted her dead.
I will pass that on.
I wanted her dead. And subsequently, your unborn child by association, I was, okay, was hoping Jesus would never exist.
Take it against him. Fucking hell. You're a bitter man. What's wrong with you? Carrying vendettas down the bloodline. You want to fuck the Ellis Bexters. You want to kill my son. Simultaneously,
I don't want to kill him. I just want him never to have existed. It's a very different. It's in fact a much more horrible thing.
Jesus Christ! I'll think about that when I'm gazing into his face later. You monster.
So you were at the BAFTAs last night.
Oh, yeah, thanks for that. Yeah.
How did that go for you?
Well, yeah. It didn't. I mean, it was very hot.
Hmm.
Is it interesting? I've not lost that early on in a ceremony before. Usually I'm sort of at least 3/4 of the way through before they announce that I've lost. But they don't announce it like that. I'm aware it's not all about me. Stop everything to say, like the nation is in mourning and announce that I have lost. But I've not. It was like award number 2 or 3 or something into a long night. Jesus Christ! It's a real Stuart Lee, I think, deserved to win. No. I think that's. Oh no, I think he did.
His show's all right. He needs a sort of fat, funny one to come in and say, do some jokes. He's like just doing a straight man. He's forgotten about the funny man. He's just man.
Say, stop repeating
it's
everything.
It's like, that's what happened if you had Sid Little on his own. He would just talk seriously about things and repeat. He wouldn't know what to say and he'd just keep on saying the same thing over and over again. What you need is Eddie Large. I'm not saying I'm as good as Eddie Large. I'm not being arrogant here. To come in a deputy dog wig and...
No one surely no one remembers the deputy dog wig of Eddie Large. I've one read Mander. Sid Little's autobiography.
Have you? Yes.
Yeah, do you know what it's called?
I'd forgotten. I did know. Tell me.
It's called Little Goes a Long Way. It's true. It's a good title. Goes a bit Christian.
It goes a Christian to see.
But
Bobby Ball has become a Christian. I think both Buchanan and Ball are Christians as well. I think
are they?
Yeah.
What's that all about?
I don't know. If that happens to Stuart Lee, then we'll know. All double acts eventually just become Christians.
Maybe you'll do the next the comedy vehicle will just be a series of earnest Christian talk. And everyone would be really trying to justify it online. There's something really clever he's doing. It's all going to be revealed to be ironic. But it's not. It's just and then he literally, there's passages from the Bible come up at the end for you to look up afterwards. Maybe that would be a
I wouldn't
great
be surprised.
Way to go.
I wouldn't be surprised. That's what happens if you don't have the funny one coming in.
it's weird. Now, you go to an award ceremony. It is weird. It's apart from anything else, it's weird in that you forget, obviously, you sort of forget that you're at an award ceremony, and then you suddenly go around a corner, you're walking down the carpet bit, and it's like your television has been sick because there's just famous people. There's like Alan Sugar or somebody as famous as Alan Sugar. just people from soaps. Everywhere you look, it's like seeing... They're almost like seeing corporate logos. Do you know what I mean? They're that familiar, their faces, but you can't believe you're seeing them. It's like if you saw Colonel Sanders in 3D, you'd shit yourself. It's a really weird, weird atmosphere. And then to not win, you sort of think, why bother coming? fuck you all. So you spend most of the... And when you realise, of course, that three quarters of the people there haven't won.
Yeah.
So you just sit there, it's full of slightly bitter, sour people all night. So it's not great.
No.
It's not great at all.
Everyone
always fucking... You know what really pisses me off? Is that... Because I'm allowed to be bitter about it. It's like everyone would walk in and he'd give a little speech, and then they'd say, but really, who I'd like to thank is you, the people up there. Because on the top row there, you've got members of the public who've come in and paid.
Yeah.
Right, and they'd sort of make a point of going to you, the fucking faceless plebs up there, who I can't even see from this stage. Like any of them gave a shit about those fucking flesh bags breathing in and out, who I think have to pay to go to the BAFTAs, the poor cunts.
Well, the woman who won for being Fred West's psychiatrist, whatever she was, responsible adult, she came on and went, oh, I had no idea I was going to win. I haven't prepared anything. I sort of thought, if you've got down to the last four, just prepare something. You fucking obviously have prepared something. Stop lying.
She didn't thank Rose West, though, did she? No one thanked the West.
No.
And that, for me, was the... was a disgraceful oversight that evening. And Dominic West said, let's hope there aren't many more Fred Wests. And you'd think, well, no, you should hope there's at least a few to keep ITV in this kind of hard-hitting drama about difficult... So, people go on about it being difficult subject matter. No, everyone loves fucking murder. We can't get enough of Fred West. Everyone loves Fred West. Fred West could have had a fucking game show on Saturday night BBC One if he hadn't hanged himself. Everyone loved him.
He did say, I hope there aren't too many more Fred Wests, which suggests that there is a certain amount that he would be acceptable.
There's a cut-off point. There's a Westing point.
Need to have a few, just to siphon off a few of the whores.
No, they weren't. No, these were... He was horrible. Yeah. You know, here's a creepy fact about Fred... Well, apart from all the other creepy facts about Fred West. I read that book... Happy Like Murderers, which is quite a jolly book about Fred West. He used to every day, he used to make breakfast for his kids.
Yeah.
And he'd arrange, I don't know why I find this creepy, he'd arrange the food, like the fried eggs and the sausage and the bacon, into a smiley face on the plate and hand it, there you go. I find that weird, coming from a man who used to tie people to pieces of farming equipment and do... atrocious thing. Sorry, I've darkened the mood.
I'm a bit worried because when I make porridge for my wife every morning, I put a little... if I've got raspberries, I make a little heart on there of raspberries, which I thought was quite nice, but now I'm worried I'm going to kill her and any female children she has.
Oh, we had a joke. We had a joke about Fred West that we were going to say in one of the in 2011 White that we couldn't say, which was what was it? It was Dominic West playing Fred West, and we said that's quite fitting because Fred West was a big fan of the wire and the flex and the cables and the pliers. So I'm glad I've had an opportunity.
And that's why you have lawyers on those shows stopping you doing that. Don't tell anyone we said any of this stuff. That's the best. I'm asking all of my guests this question, Charlie. Have you ever attempted... And I think the answer for you is yes. I'm just going to say that straight away. Have you ever tried to suck your own cock?
What is this show? There's going to be a drum roll and I have to... And someone knocks out one of the vertebrae in my spine. Because it's just that one. Probably.
Yeah.
The reason I can't remember is because if it was successful, then I would have an answer for you straight away. Sure. I don't know. Yes, have I? I can't, come on, if you haven't, you've never dared to dream. I must have done at some point in my life. I must have done.
I thought not, you would have.
Have you? Because, you well, must have.
Yes, I have. And have I've, you? Yeah, and I managed to.
What? How much?
A little. A little.
A little.
A little bit, and then I realised I had a cock in my mouth, and it was my own one. I thought, where's the fun in that?
Hang
so
on.
It was quite.
So what
do you want me to demonstrate that?
No. Well, yes. No, I do.
I don't think I could do it now. I was about 14 at the time.
And how? So when you say a little, how far?
Well,
in
you
we
know,
talking?
A little of the massive cock I obviously have.
The giant.
A tiny,
fucking...
tiny proportion. Still about 4 or 5 inches
worth
was in there.
So.
I wasn't strumming it like a guitar, no. It's a back reference to something.
I think the
no
worst thing about being able to suck your own cock would be if somebody burst in and caught you, you'd have to pull it out of your mouth before you could say, sorry. That'd be really
it's
awkward.
Not what it looks like. That's what you're saying.
When I was a little boy, yes. It was an embarrassing thing that happened to me. I used to have a ZX Spectrum computer, and I used to like playing Daley Thompson's Decathlon on the Spectrum computer, which was a game where you had to push two buttons really quickly to make Daley Thompson run. And I always had a Kempston joystick, which you'd plug into and then you'd wiggle the joystick furiously from side to side to make Daley Thompson run. And I worked out that it was hard to do, to wiggle the joystick like this, unless you clamped the joystick between your thighs and sat there wiggling it like this.
Yeah.
And then one day I'm sitting playing this game, hunched over in front of my television, wiggling like this, frantically wiggling away at my crotch. And my mother came in and said, do you want... And they went, oh, my God. I must have thought I was masturbating to a tiny sprite of Daley Thompson in shorts. So, just I don't know, apropos of nothing. And then I probably tried to suck my own cock. No, I can't say I've made a habit of it. I guess you could can you learn to do it? It must be a yogic thing. It's probably a yoga position.
I don't know.
Would you finish on your own face?
Well, that's,
if you could suck your own cock, would you go, I'll show you! Fucking! Yeah! You sluts! Yeah! Have a load of that, fucking!
In the questionnaire that I have online, this is where this question comes from. About 17% of men, but most men have tried, majority have tried, about 17% could do it. It was about 50-50 on the spit or swallow issue. And which, as I say, you know, it's saying something you're not prepared to swallow your own semen. Especially given you've just sucked your own cock.
I think that I'm surprised anyone gets to finish. Because I would have thought if you're sucking your own cock, you're too weirded out to be able to... How'd you overcome that psychological hump?
I didn't overcome that, I have to say.
Jesus Christ.
It's a good question. You don't get that on Parkinson, do you? You don't get that...
No.
Parkinson never thought of asking that question. And it just loosens everyone up, I think, to... Then I can get back to the question.
We should bring it in on Newsnight.
Yeah.
Never mind that, Minister. Have you ever tried to suck your own cock? If not, why not? Because we don't need people in power who haven't dared to dream.
It'd be good. The Prime Minister debate, if that question had come up, we might have learnt...
Cameron has definitely tried to suck his own cock, hasn't he?
No, he's always had someone to do it for him his whole life. Some working class person. Bring in the working class person.
I read that...
Apparently that happened.
I read that nannies of upper class people used to... This is rude. They used to, to stop baby
this
boys...
This is rude. Oh, hold on. better warn them in case any kids are listening. Thank God that warning came in.
I hope I read this somewhere. I read somewhere that nannies of upper class, when they wanted to stop a baby boy crying, they used to just put its cock in their mouth.
Yeah, I think I've seen that somewhere.
It's a conversation killer, isn't it? Just realised. No, but Cameron has the look of a man who had that done to him from a very early age.
Just what do you think? How do you think the science of that works? Just the baby going, blimey.
I don't recommend anyone tries that. I'm sure it's illegal. I bet it works.
I think I might hire me a nanny.
Do you think there's nannies who put cards up in phone boxes? And these excellent Victorian-era nannying skills.
I didn't see it on the Wendy Craig vehicle, the nanny, back
fuck
in
me. 1970. What sort of reference is that? What's
I like to go obscure.
We're going to talk about Bleep and Booster next.
I like to go obscure for the people who are too young that annoy me. They go, well, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Do you remember
even the people of my age who go, I don't remember nanny.
That's obscure. Do you remember Animal Crackers?
The TV show with... yeah, I do.
People dressed as... Yeah, so yeah. That's a
there was a song,
one.
I'm trying to remember the songs from...
I Animal remember, Crackers,
yeah, but there was,
Animal
didn't crack. They each have their own individual songs?
Oh, yeah, Rory
yeah.
was one... Yeah. Yeah, sorry, we've yeah. really lost everyone now. Might as well be talking about the insides of our own intestines or something, I don't know.
Do you know the thing that sprung to mind for me the other day like that I think is a really weird thing that I'd completely forgotten about? The advert for Insignia. you remember that?
The one where Insignia's got everything, shampoo, yeah, shower gel.
Yeah, but I can one remember
all,
every word.
For one all over smell. Yeah, yeah. Smell. I bit the inside of my own mouth. That really fucking hurt. Yeah, no, I remember that.
Yeah, but I just the whole song came into my head completely formed the other day and I hadn't thought about it for probably 30 years.
Can you still buy Insignia?
No, it doesn't exist.
It was a system.
It was a, you got deodorant. It's very good. It's all in the song. Insignia's got everything, shampoo to shower gel. It makes it sound like there's more things. Because saying shampoo to shower gel implies there's about 15 things in between there. It's shampoo to shower gel, aftershave, deodorant, the one all over body smell, basically.
Talc.
So there's four things. So when it says, and there might be some talc, I suppose.
Yes, because the problem was here and there with different smells. Yeah. That was the guy. Yeah. He had too many different things.
He smelled too many different things and girls didn't like him. But then when he smelled uniform, every part of his body felt the same. Girls liked that. The reason I'm not doing as well as Peter Kay is...
But these days, they just advertise links. It's just like women hurling vaginas at men who go near a bottle of... It's really
like
depressing.
Thing.
Links
like ripping
adverts
off their
are
own
really
vagina.
You just think, oh, fucking try harder as a species, for fuck's sake. But, yeah, I mean, it's like Nuts magazine being hurled at you, and then that pops the links like, I fucking hate everyone. When those things happen. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Lynx is a very, like, 14-year-old boy smell, though, I think. I don't think you'd want to... You shouldn't want to be attracted to any woman who wants to... I once had a shower in Lynx from my nephew, you know, and into the shower, and my nephew had left his Lynx behind. And then I smelled of Lynx, and I thought, I just smell like a tiny child. I don't know, who am I trying to attract here? This isn't
I don't know what Lynx smells like. I've
Well, there are lots of different smells, but it's a very musky, unpleasant odour that I can't imagine... any adult woman being interested in. I can imagine some unpleasant adult men being interested in.
Ooh. No, that's just made me...
All
wonder.
I'm saying is that I believe Lynx has been created by a cabal of paedophiles. That is... And if the lawyers are listening, if it's not true, why don't you sue me? I'm going to sit back and wait. And if I haven't been sued by the time of the next podcast, I will be confirming... that Lynx has been manufactured by predatory homosexual paedophiles.
Well, they've got to do something. They're unemployable in any other walk of life. So I like to think they're in prison mixing up huge vats of Lynx, which probably comes from secretions from their own glands.
You'd think your audience would be less shockable than this. I'm surprised how shocked
That's not shocking. I mean, that's probably what it
that's
smells like.
That's not that
like.
Shocking.
I mean,
that's what I'm saying. They'd be going, oh, you've let me down, Charlie Brooker fans. I thought you'd be up for anything. And I've got a whole raft of things planned for the next 2 hours. This fucker... Now, I was wondering, this is an interesting actual Parkinson-type question. Your first job was to write for Oink magazine,
yes.
But you must have been about 15 years old. But
correct, I
right.
was 15
I worked
years
it out,
old.
Because I used to read that when I was at university, before I got into Viz. I preferred Oink. I thought Oink was better than Viz.
Well... Good.
I was wrong, though.
You were wrong. I always wanted to do stuff for Viz.
Yeah.
Because I remember I read Viz when I was at school, I think, and then when Oink came along, it was some of the Viz people were involved in it. And I sent some comic strips off to the letters page, and they wrote back and said, will you come up with a comic strip for us?
Wow.
So, yeah, which was like...
As a 15-year-old.
As a 15-year-old. So that's what I sort of started doing.
You were a prodigy of... Sort of scatological humour.
Well, no, it was a bit weird because it was like I remember they wrote back and said, and they made me sort of do all sorts of audition things. I had to draw things in pencil and stuff first, and then they accepted something I'd written, and I had to draw it up. And they sent me the dimensions because you have to obviously draw things to a different size to what they appear in print. And for some reason, I panicked so much. I misread them and thought they were saying in millimetres. And I thought you had to draw everything, like, about the size of a matchbox. And then it got blown up. And I spent a whole afternoon trying to... And I ended up in tears. And then literally saying to my mother, I can't do it! I can't do it! I can't be a cartoonist! I can't draw that small! And then realised I'd read it and it was actually 10 times bigger was what I was supposed to do. But no, I used to. It was when I was in the sixth form, and when I was, I guess, when around the time I was doing my exams, then went into the sixth form. I was doing comic strips. That's what I wanted to be, was a cartoonist.
Right. It's very exciting. I'm very impressed by that. I'm not sure that many other people remember Oink, but it was an amazing thing. And then you wrote for PC Zone.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time doing video games reviews in the 90s.
That's just the dream, though, isn't it? And when I was a kid, I just thought, what I'd like to be paid for is playing video games and watching TV and having sex with someone off Blue Peter.
I didn't manage to combine them all at the same time. In retrospect, that looks like a great job.
Yes.
Reviewing computer games. At the time, it was less... It wasn't a bad job by any stretch of the imagination, because at the same time I was doing that, I was working in a shop where we sold video games as well. It was quite good because we were encouraged to be rude to members of the public. Like, if somebody came in and said, show me that, I was allowed to go, no, because I don't like your attitude, which was a weird, weird area. But no, when I was reviewing computer games, it was like you'd... I think then as well, video games were less accepted than they are now. So if I'd go to a party or something and somebody would say, what do you do? And I'd say, I review video games for a living. They'd look at me like I'd said, I ride around on a little tricycle and then I pat my own balls left and right with hands full of talcum powder because I am a child. So weirdly at the time, I remember having a bit of an epiphany where... Well, I was quite pleased with myself for having written a review of something. I thought I've written this wonderful. This is a wonderful review I've written. And then I realised, I looked at our readership figures and realised that we got fewer readers than What Caravan. And realised that I might as well have written a really great review of a caravan. It would never mean anything to anyone outside of the bubble that I was in. And got profoundly depressed by that for a while. But no,
I feel about my adult work, though, I have to say. So,
well, it's the same of any. Well, really, it's the same of any field of endeavour, isn't it? There's a bubble that you're within. You could be Steven Spielberg is massive, but really, if you look at the whole of time and space, he's fucking nothing. So really, you know, there's the propensity there to be depressed by any achievement. Which is a lesson I hope we all take away from this evening. No, but it was pretty good. Reviewing video games wasn't a bad way to spend your 20s. I'd just sit there. That was when I used to think that you had to get stoned to write. And now I can't go anywhere near. I used to just get stoned and write and play video games and write. That was actually, it's pathetic, isn't it? That's what I used to do. And sit on a sofa the rest of the time. It's like a cliche of the 90s.
Did you have many girlfriends at this time?
No. Actually, I didn't know I had a sort of steady girlfriend through most of it, yeah. We broke up, and then I thought this was like the worst. It was all quite pathetic. Yeah, sad, isn't it? I threw myself into my work. Luckily, was playing computer games. Pretty much the same as any breakup, I suppose. Yeah. Actually, during one of these breakups, I did do the most pathetic thing I've ever done in my life. I felt so sorry for myself that I decided I was just going to stay in bed for about a week. And I was watching... I had a TV in the room, and I was watching TV. And I realised that I was developing a crick in my neck through having to sit up. So I thought, I can just turn the telly on its side. And that was a real watershed moment. Turning the TV on its side was embracing my own patheticness. And I turned the television on its side and lay in bed watching. I came up with an invention then, which was, it was an idea for a bachelor bed for bachelors. And the idea was, it was a bed that you could have sex with. It had a hole in it. And you'd have sex with it, and it would gather all the fluid that you had ejected together with your tears, and then it would all pull down the bottom, and it would collect it in little moulds and make candles, like little tea lights, which you had then ready for in the unlikely event of if you actually invited anyone back to your flat. You had romantic tea lights.
And they say, what? I fancy, but what I really need is a candle made out of sperm and tears.
Well, no, because I figured that maybe the scent of burning sperm would release some pheromone or something. That what woman isn't sent into a passionate fury by the scent of burning sperm? I was always inventing things that never left my head.
Did you ever make a prototype?
No.
Did you make them tiny?
No.
You get the dimensions of that wrong and make a tiny little prototype.
I seem to spend a lot of time in the 90s and early 2000s sort of breaking up with people and feeling really upset, like I was the only person who'd ever been upset in the world. And it's a weird thing when you're that upset. What I remember about it is there'd be times when you were crying. You'd just be sitting there feeling really sorry. And then you'd forget and start reading a magazine. Forget you're upset, you stop reading a magazine. You're like looking through, oh, that's interesting. I didn't know. Oh, wow, okay. Oh, an interview with that, that's good. And then you get, then something would remind you. Yes! It's pathetic, really, isn't it? Emotions.
We are, I think, as men, especially, we are pretty pathetic. Oh, my mum wanted to say that she saw you on Have I Got News For You this week and she thought you were quite good.
Oh, good. Thanks. Yeah. Thank you, Mrs. Herring.
That was a weird
episode. Particularly weird episode because it was William Shatner.
Yes.
Hosting. Hey! And he is... he's mad, isn't he? He's like, he seems nice. He's a nice guy. Knows exactly how absurd he is and doesn't give a shit. He's 81. Do you know that? 81 years old. He was in the Twilight Zone.
Yeah,
I think they showed a clip of the Twilight Zone on it. No, it's all very exciting.
It's always really weird. Good Twilight Zone. I mean, me and my wife have been watching the Twilight Zone from the beginning, and I thought when I started watching, I thought this would make a really good show to do. Now we could update this, do a sort of Tales of the Unexpected Twilight Zone kind of thing together. And then you did that, so I was annoyed. But yeah, the one that Shatner's in is when they go to a diner and there's a stupid little devil thing.
Ah,
and
he's in two.
Oh, is he?
No, yes, he's in. There's one where he's in a diner.
But you can buy. You can buy like different versions of that little devil fortune. It's a fortune thing. You put in a scent, and then it's quite boring if you don't like the Twilight Zone.
In terms of references, we are now talking about something that went out in 1959.
Does anyone remember...
The Renaissance.
The first season.
Remember that? Remember Copernicus?
It'll come on. But then you get a little thing out, and you can buy those now online. So it is a popular episode. But what's the other one?
He was in an episode that features the best bit of acting I've ever seen. I say acting. he's in a famous episode where... Well, I don't want to spoil it if you haven't seen it. But he's a passenger who's recovering from a nervous breakdown on a plane. And he thinks he's seen something on the wing.
It's the one the Simpsons parody, is it? With the
parody, yeah, and when they did a Twilight Zone movie that they made, they remade it in right. There. That's quite a good episode, apart from the special effects are terrible. But if you ever get a chance to see it, this is my tip to anyone who's going to watch, and you should watch the Twilight Zone, it's great.
Yeah.
There's a great bit in it where he has to try and steal the gun from a sleeping policeman who's on the... Not a sleeping policeman that you get in a rave. That'd be like a dream. a task in a dream. No, but from a guy who's fallen asleep on the plane. And he has to just do a bit of acting where he surreptitiously does it without waking the guy up. And it's just the best bit of terrible acting you've ever seen. His surreptitious look. I insist you look it up at some point.
I will. Well, if you don't want to watch The Twilight Zone, it's either a devil, an angel, they're already dead, or it was Earth. That's pretty much summed it up.
Yeah. But you know, I love that show. I love all those creepy old. Have you seen there's an old Alfred Hitchcock Presents episode where it's all from the point of view of a man who's just been paralysed in a car crash. Right. Like, the whole thing is just a man lying like that, and it's just his thoughts as he's going, "Please, someone come and help me! No, no!" And there's all these people come over and they just rob his corpse. What they think is he's got. It's really depressing. Then he's being wheeled in. They're going to bury him alive. You hear him screaming and he said, "No, no, no!" I could ruin the punchline. Is that he cries?
Right.
Basically, at the end, as they say, "We're going to fucking bury you in the ground, you dead cunt." And he cries, and they say, because he's a businessman. The point is, he's a businessman who's never shown any emotion, and he cries for his, and they say, "Oh my God, he's alive!" And so they save him. But I've sort of spoiled that story now.
I think there comes a point where spoilers are allowed. I think there should be a 50-year moratorium, baby. And then after that, if you haven't seen it, oh, you've wrecked it on Twitter.
I wrote a thing about the Avengers movie the other day, and I said in the end of the thing, oh, by the way, you know, the Avengers win, and somebody went, oh, for fuck. Like it was going to win any other way.
There's a very good Me 1 versus Me 2 style Twilight Zone where a man is having a conversation himself with in the mirror, which is I play with myself at snooker and commentate on it sometimes.
Okay.
And then you're put that as a podcast.
You're sure you're okay?
You know, I'm not like... I find Stuart Lee quite mainstream with his BAFTA-winning shows. Like he's sort of in the same camp as Mrs. Brown and Keith Lemon for me. It's that they're... If you've got the Venn diagram,
he's the BBC
there.
Two Keith Lemon, isn't he? I mean, basically, yeah.
I play myself at snooker and then commentate on it with no script. But there's a Twilight Zone where a man is having an argument with himself in the mirror that we saw when I was sort of at the height of. I was going a little bit mad playing. Right. I'm playing with the notions of whether I'm insane or not while I'm doing it.
Oh, but yeah, like every insane person is playing with the notions of whether this is illegal.
Yeah, there's ones I was playing where one of the me's was drinking and the other one wasn't to see whether the alcohol would affect the game. But there's a good Twilight Zone, isn't there, darling? When that happens. I hope that is my wife there because I've been addressing everything to her. I hope it is because she's a lot hotter than my wife. That's like, with that beautiful new haircut, darling, if it was possible to be hotter than you were before, you are now.
You creep. That actually became sinister. It's like a threat.
Oh, dear. There's so many things to talk to you about, and we've talked for ages already. Should we stop talking to Charlie Brooker? No. Should we go on forever talking to him forever? Tell you it all, Dad. That'd be a good Twilight Zone episode where we just two men talk until everyone...
Could we touch the
truck version of this? Instead of the true or false, the last person who is alive wins. Well, let's say the Andrew Collins audio, but that's the best prize.
How long, if we did sit here just unrelentingly talking
and
the doors were locked, how long do you think it would be before we were being physically attacked? I've often wondered, with Twitter, I wonder how quickly I could commit suicide on Twitter if I just started tweeting my coordinates and a series of offensive, racist, misogynist, terrible statements. Yeah. How long it would be until... And yeah, come on, you fucking pussies! And that, genuinely, how long it would be until I was killed.
I would do that as a podcast, you see. That's the kind of thing I like to have.
I reckon 6 hours. If you're really a fast typist, you could... Yeah, 6 hours, I think.
Do you not think the police would arrive first and sort of save you?
I hadn't thought of that. Yeah. You've got more faith in the police.
Because when that student said those really terrible things about the essentially dead footballer, Mwamba, and was making racist comments about this tragedy unfolding behind his eyes, he was arrested fairly quickly.
But he was quite an idiot, wasn't he? I mean, he was basically sitting there. He was kind of like showing off, wasn't he? He was sort of drunk, wasn't he? Going, yeah, I'm going to teach out the offensive. Oh, well, now I'm in jail. So he was just a twat. I mean,
Is it so different than what we're doing here, Charlie? Is it?
But surely did the police then wait till the next day? I reckon you could cut the police off at the part. If you were quick enough and you were goading people enough, I reckon.
Well, let's give it a go.
One day someone will put
treasure,
that into...
Treasure Hunt with Annika Rice. Just a sort of offensive...
That's quite a new reference for you.
Yes, thank
you. That's like fucking...
It's quite popular.
That's like something that happened 5 minutes ago.
Well, let's talk a bit more about you and see how we get on with that. You don't drive. You can't even drive.
I can't drive. Well, it's one of those things, you know, you move to London.
Yeah.
And, yeah. I took a test when I was 17.
Oh,
I grew
so you
up
can
in Oxfordshire.
Drive.
And, yeah. Well, no, I can't.
You just
really.
Can't because you're not allowed. Rubbish.
Yeah. I was a really bad driver in that I'd panic at the wrong times.
Yes.
And sort of like, I'd just hurtle at people and then I'd panic if I was faced with a box junction. But anything other than a box junction, I drove like a fucking maniac. But no, I can't drive in London. And it's a weird thing when you realise there's a whole... It is a bit weird, actually, when you realise there's a whole... This sort of branch of existence that I have no experience of, that other people take for granted.
If you get asked on the most dangerous roads, you won't even be able to go.
I I reckon I could turn any road into the most dangerous road. I did fall asleep at the wheel once in a driving lesson, which I thought was quite impressive. It's genuinely true. While going down Sires Hill, it's a local reference to people who are in South Oxfordshire. I'm 41. So at what point am I allowed to learn to drive? It feels like there's not. I probably don't have. When you're 17 or whatever, your brain is probably malleable enough for you to be able to. I mean, you're fucking stupid when you're 17. You know, and anything can just go in and form around it. Your skull can grow around that knowledge. But now there's this terrible carapace. I can't. You know, how am I going to? I can't.
I was very scared. I think I was similarly. I was a bit scared about it, and I grew up in the countryside. It would have been really useful to drive. But I didn't, and then I came to London and I didn't, and then I learnt when I was 26, and then I spent so much money learning to drive I couldn't afford to buy a car.
So you had to walk while pretending to be a car.
Yeah, but I forgot how to do everything. I wrote a character based on it, but I just slightly self-referenced.
Do you now? You now drive though?
I do now. Yeah, but I'm still not very good. That's part of the reason why I didn't want to go because I get quite nervous and scared. I have an automatic car, so it's basically just a bumper car.
That's pathetic.
Literally, if I'm driving,
you've got an automatic car.
Yeah, it's automatic.
What's the matter? You need to grab life, God's sake, with both hands, not just fucking going around with. Stabilisers on your bicycle?
You don't even drive.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, if I could, I'd drive on one wheel. That's how fucking
on a
cool.
A unicycle.
I'm going to learn to drive. Yeah, I'm going to take one of those courses where you go and fucking.
Why don't
you learn
to drive and then let's write to the dangerous. Part of the thing, I thought, do I want to spend a week in Bolivia with Phil Jupitus? I mean, I like him, but do I want to be in a car with him for a week?
Has it got aircon? You know, hot? Is it like?
But I quite like to go. I think we could go and drive around, you know, it won't be Bolivia. And then we could have conversations like this.
Oh, well, we would. You could teach me to drive around Gwent or something. Might be quite entertaining. So I'd do that. I'd come and learn to drive on a succession of shows, yeah.
It's pitched. We're pitching it. It's going in. That's going to win a BAFTA next year.
It could be a show where you're the driving instructor.
Yeah, I could be the character.
You're teaching various bits. So like, I'm one week it's me, the next week it's a 17-year-old girl. It's tense the whole time. It's Sophie Ellis-Bextor's daughter.
Really tense. A non-existent baby. Yeah, it'd be good.
Teaching a four-year-old to drive would be amazing. In Bolivia, that's probably legal. Teaching a drunk four-year-old to drive.
Should I be in character as the driving instructor character I played? Or just someone who doesn't... I'm not really very good at driving myself. So anyway, you've been in various controversies in your career. I'm going to take you through them all now, one by one.
Okay.
First of all, when you wrote for PC Zone, you drew a cartoon strip of a man... in a zoo where they killed animals.
Yeah.
Children killed animals.
Well, what really upset people was that basically I went through the Argos catalogue and scanned in the Argos catalogue and there were lots of photos of kids playing with toys. So it was actually photographic as well. And then I found from Microsoft Encarta, which was a forerunner to Wikipedia.
Yes,
it was this sort of CD-ROM encyclopedia and had lots of images of animals. And I sat up all night using Photoshop to combine the two. So I had children gleefully murdering animals with hammers, drills, something other. For some reason, I thought this was hilarious. And for some other reason, the magazine printed it. And then it got pulled off the shelves of every news agent in the country and we got in terrible trouble.
If it had been a more popular magazine, that could have broken them, having to recall those magazines.
Because
there were so few, it was all right.
Somebody went round on a bike.
Just ripped out the page and put it back.
That was an early high point.
That was a very controversial thing. You were a very controversial thing you did where you said John Hinckley and Mark Chapman and the people.
Lee Harvey Oswald. That was weird.
About George W. Bush.
It was a Screenburn column, and it was a review of the presidential debates in 2004. And yes, and I said that it was an old joke as well. That was the thing. It was an old joke where I remember seeing this bit of graffiti in a sort of Nigel Rees hilarious graffiti book around the time of Thatcher that said, "Guy Fawkes, where are you now that we need you?"
Yeah.
And then I just ended this column saying, "John Wilkes Booth, Lee Harvey Oswald, whoever shot fucking Reagan, where are you now that we need you?" And for some reason, this then got picked up by elements of the sort of right-wing American blogosphere and turned into a thing where they thought The Guardian, as a newspaper, was calling for the assassination of George Bush. And they would just recite this. And to this day, they still sometimes cite that. Well, they say that, you know, right-wingers are fucking assholes, but, you know, liberals are fascists. Listen to this. In 2004, The Guardian newspaper called the assassination. And it's so annoying, you fucking bull-headed cunts. So annoying. But I got a load of death threats. And it was really scary for a couple of days because you just get... I realised belatedly that what happens is there's a whole sort of engine of right-wing fucks who go around and... Well, I guess I say right-wing fuck. I guess that happens... It's not even political. I guess it happens to anyone on any who falls foul of people on the internet. In my case, it was right-wing fucks writing to me. But they were sort of emailing me and saying, you know, I hope you fucking die. I'm going to come and smuggle... I know how to smuggle a sniper rifle through customs. That was my favourite one. Said, I know how to smuggle a sniper rifle through customs and it can take your head off from a kilometre away. So I would suggest that in future you walk under trees and constantly move in a zigzag fashion. Nice of them to give me some hints. Survival tips.
Nice things work that out. You know, I know how to just go to a shop and buy a sniper rifle in the country I'm in, rather than smuggling.
Where can you buy a proper sniper rifle? A sniper. I call it a sniper rifle, which sounds sort of like a molestation. But sniper. I got many death threats.
You wrote for the Chris Morris paedophile episode of Brass Eye.
Well, yeah, I contributed some sort of... It's a bit weird. I mean, working on something with Chris is like you do it via osmosis almost. So I think there were a lot of sort of meetings where there would be ideas for things and then you'd end up sort of suggesting all sorts of stuff that would then end up in the show. But I do remember that the News of the World named and shamed everyone involved in that programme just by... They literally just sat there and paused the credits. And if I remember rightly, I think, knowing Chris, he put in some silly names in the credits. I think they just slavishly wrote them down. He'd probably, like, included Hall and Oates or something like this. Daryl Hall and John Oates, these paedophile cheerleaders. So, you know, that was a weird time, I suppose, yeah. I mean, there, I guess he got all sorts of, you know, people jumping out of bushes and taking his photo and sort of saying, this is the most hated man in Britain and so on and so forth. So I've had it lightly compared to that.
Yeah. Mm. It's an amazing episode of Brass Eye, though. Do you feel...
Yeah, no, it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Was that before Nathan Barley and all that sort of stuff?
Because that was pre 9/11. Right. The reason I can remember that is that it seemed a big deal, and then 9/11 came along. Right. Like you said, paedophiles generally seemed like the most scary thing in society, and then 9/11 happened. If paedophiles had pulled off 9/11, we'd really, really hate them.
Do you think when 9/11 happened, a lot of paedophiles were going, "Yes, it's not us anymore"?
Possibly.
Let's go out and have sex with some kids. No one's going to care.
They might have done in that there were probably a lot of traumatised children who needed a shoulder to cry on, having seen these terrible images. And so for a paedophile, it probably was like a...
It'd be great if only the top crime counted. As long as there was something worse, you could get away with it. So you're caught having sex with a child. Go, come on, I haven't blown up the World Trade Centre.
I've done a 9/11, Your Honour. That is how it works.
I don't think that would be great. I've thought about it a second time.
That is how it would work. If there was a prison in which they had all the criminals in the world and there was a fire and they had to save them, they would work it out in that order, wouldn't they? I mean, actually, talking about the BAFTAs, I used to imagine going to things like that. I used to think if there was a terrorist attack, this is a great place to do it. Is at the BAFTAs or something, they'd kill everyone. And I used to try and work out where in the pecking order where my death would be reported. Because, you know, if you were standing near... I remember very clearly being up at Edinburgh one year and Ricky Gervais was standing in the same... I was in the same room as Ricky Gervais. And we were in a building that felt like a real death trap. And I realised if a fire broke out... It would be TV... Joy as TV's Ricky survives Blaze, even if he'd have to stamp me to the ground to get out of there. No, it would be an interesting one if you imagine a terror attack on the BAFTAs to work out. Who would they put? Ant and Dec at the top? You think Ant and Dec killed everyone else?
I think, because there's a lot of, you know, respect. I think they'd go for the respecting actors first.
Really?
I don't know. It's hard to know, isn't it? I've thought the same thing about the Oscars. Does it say something bad about us that we are planning terrorist attacks? Because I always do. I always do. I mean, I always think of the way terrorists could do better than they've done. Which, to be honest, is they had one early success, but they haven't really... I mean, what, since 9/11? Everyone talks about that, but since then, what have they done?
I've got a good idea.
Yeah, all right, a few things. But not...
You know what
the pants bomb didn't work, did it? The shoe bomb didn't work.
You know what I think they should do?
I thought of the bra bomb.
The bra bomb?
Well, I thought, like, actually, I saw a buxom woman going through through the thing at the scanner.
Yeah.
And I just thought, why didn't they just put bombs in their tits? That's what I thought. Because she was surgically enhanced anyway.
They'll do that next.
So that's an idea. And now I've said it out loud, and I've got a lot of fans in Al-Qaeda. They enjoy the references to obscure 1970s stuff. That's what they go for.
I think they should just get two mopeds, yeah. Right, and a bit of razor wire between them, and drive on either sides of a big crowd at ankle height. So they slice off everyone's feet. So it's, and then you've got a really weird thing where you've got thousands of people all severed at the ankles. Imagine the chaos, because some of them would die through loss of blood. The others, there'd be big arguments over whose feet was it. It would get carried out in the... It'd be terrible. That's the problem with terrorists. No imagination. So it's blow it up. Yeah, what do we get? Blow it, blow up a plane, blow up a building. No. That's what they should do.
The main thing is people just getting slightly wrong feet. Getting home from the hospital going, my shoes aren't fitting anymore. Hold on.
Would you think if you got somebody else's feet, you'd end up walking to the wrong places? Like in a sort of muscle memory, you'd walk to their house.
If it was the Twilight Zone, that would definitely
happen. Is that how feet work? Probably not.
Oh, we've got to the hysterical stage. If you push on far enough, I found with these chats, it goes through a lull as everyone gets too hot. And then we start getting hysterical. That's the second hour. Then the fourth hour. We haven't dared push onwards. What are you like running? I like running. You like all the same stuff as me.
No.
Then you're successful.
You go running. Well, what are you going to go running?
Yeah.
It's quite good, isn't it?
Because
you get
first.
And then did not run first out of everyone in the world.
I did, me.
Other people
all
went
right,
running
Euripides
as well.
All right, and then me it was.
It's all right, isn't it? Because people used to say, I remember talking to somebody who used to go running and would say, oh, no, I like running. It gives me a chance to think about that. And I think, how can you think about anything other than I wish I wasn't fucking running? And then after you've done it for about 10 weeks,
yeah.
your mind what is good for thinking about. If I'm trying to write something I can't think about, I go running. But the problem is this is really wanky sounding. I slightly wear a disguise when I go, just because there's a kid who lives near me, or who I went running one time. This kid who like lives near me came and cycled alongside me. The whole way going, oh, you're on the telly, like that, and asking, and didn't go away, just cycled alongside me for the duration of a whole fucking run. Made me look like I was, I don't know, like a reverse paedophilia thing, I guess, where I was trying to get away from him, or that he was my coach. It looked really weird. So I sort of run in hats and sunglasses. I go running
like
in
the
disguise.
Unabomber. You do look a bit like the Unabomber, actually. Have you seen have you seen photos? I think you could play the Unabomber. I've just spotted it.
Really?
Who do you look like?
Oh, I look like the Unabomber.
The young Unabomber. The young when he was still good looking, and before he discovered for his
madness. We went mad in a shack. Right. I used to get Lawrence Fishburne all the time. There was people said, you look like Lawrence Fishburne. And once I was asked if I was Lawrence Fishburne, genuinely, by a woman in a shop. Because I used to shave my head. You see, and so I think I probably looked a bit more like that, even though he is black.
But surely that just revealed more of your white skin.
Well, yeah,
to give
like,
the clue
like he
that
just
you
plays
not.
Black for the movies.
Blacks. They come and go, I think what you do is disgusting.
Yeah. There's not enough roles for white men, so he has to black up. just strange.
You're atheist. I was atheist first before
what
you were.
What are you talking about? Jesus Christ.
I played Football Manager in 1982.
I'd never played Football Manager. Kevin
playing,
Toms.
Yeah, I was playing it the other day. It's amazing.
What? You were playing Football Manager on a Spectrum the other day?
I was playing on a Spectrum emulator on my computer.
Really? Mm-hmm. Why?
I just found it and I thought, I've got to have a little go at it.
It's
so simple, it's brilliant. I took York City from the 4th Division to 2nd in the 1st Division.
You didn't.
Not the Premiership, the 1st Division.
No, you didn't though, did
I did,
you?
I took them there.
You didn't, no you didn't, you just pushed some buttons. That's what you did. You pushed some buttons and it said, well done, Richard.
I think it's very arbitrary. I was doing very well and then suddenly you'd lose for no reason and then it's fucked because it's all about morale. That's how they did it.
Wait a minute, you're prepared to take the glory when you... Yeah. But when you fail, it's not very sophisticated, this programme.
I find it too difficult to play any of the current computer games, basically, but certainly the Football Manager
ones. Now you can get ones you just swipe at with your fucking arms. You don't even need a joystick, for God's sake. What's the matter with you?
It's too complex. I play Yahtzee on my iPhone. That's my favourite one.
Yahtzee's complex compared to Ninja or something?
It's a complex one. I'll tell you how many...
We're going to play live Yahtzee now? What the fuck is this?
This is just... I want to tell you how many times I've played Yahtzee. I haven't looked at this recently, so it might be fun. Depending on your definition of fun. But this isn't even all the games of Yahtzee I've ever played. This is just on this phone in the last 18 months. I have played... I've won 1,639 games of Yahtzee. I've lost 1,092 games of Yahtzee. I have a 60% win ratio on Yahtzee, which is up from when I did Christ on the Bike. That means I'm very slightly better at playing Yahtzee than a phone.
That's a... lot of time wasted there.
It is.
I had an idea for a game that was, you know, have you seen the Xbox Kinect system?
Yes.
Where you basically just you physically act stuff out. And I thought there should be a game that really hammers home what a waste of time these endeavours are, where you basically, the idea of the game is you build a school in the third world in real time. Like, so you get the bricks and you have to mortar them and build them. Then you have to teach a whole generation of children. And at the end, it just says, well done. And nothing has changed.
I think if running is good for creativity, I think actually obliterating your mind by concentrating on a computer game, for comedy, I find...
is good.
Well, because it just means you're not thinking about anything and then suddenly something will pop into your head because you're you think too hard about comedy and you can't come up with anything. Mm. As this show shows, we haven't thought about a thing we've said and look how consistently amusing we've been for 100 minutes.
Well, it is. It's like... Shycock, isn't it? It's like not being able to piss at your urine. The more you worry about what the person next to you is doing with it, actually, that's a weird analogy, isn't it? But it's true. I play a lot of pinball on the Xbox. I just play fucking pinball on it all the time.
I used to love pinball. Adam's Family pinball. That's what I want.
You can get an emulator of Adam's Family pinball.
What, on the Xbox?
I think you can. Yeah,
I might get that.
I give it 4 out of 5. The graphics are amazing. Thumbs up. It's very good. The pinball game on the Xbox.
See, what
is
I
excellent.
Like about this is sometimes when I watch interviews on TV, they don't talk about the stuff I'm interested in. But in this one, none of you have been interested in the Twilight Zone or Adam's Family Pinball.
I'm fascinated by it, so I can
talk to you about it. You should all just set up one of these, and then you can ask the questions that you would like to ask. Then you won't have to listen to the ones you don't like. You're idiots. So I think we may be... I might need a wee soon, and, your child's getting older.
I've got to go home and feed a baby.
You might miss, the first steps of your child.
He's probably out at work by now.
There's so many things I didn't ask you about, but I can't really go back. Do you ever wonder... I'll ask you this, because I think this is about myself a little bit. And I've liked a lot of comedians... and comedy people are very intelligent people and they waste their lives just doing stupid jokes about rubbish.
Yeah.
Do you ever think that? Do you ever think you could have done something better than what you've done because you're quite clever and you spent your life reviewing video games and watching TV and going, that was a bit shit.
No, I think I've been incredibly lucky in that I'm one of those people who constantly lives in fear of being found out. as not like any good at anything he does. Do you know what I mean? Whenever I'm writing anything, I'm just thinking this. Any minute now, someone's going to come and slap this computer out of my hands. And every week, without fail, if I write a column, every week, without fail, I finish it and I'll go and I'll sort of turn around to my wife or something. She'll go, how was that? And I'll go, just fucking shit. I've just written the worst piece of fucking shit anyone's ever written. I'm such a cunt. I'm such a cunt. And then it'll come out and it's sort of like people seem to think it's okay. And so then I just think people are fucking idiots. So I'm perpetually sort of... So no, I sort of think that I'm actually in a position I do not... I do not deserve if I have any taste, any success or anything in anything. I sort of think I'm a hopeless, awful, awful person.
Well, I'd agree. I agree with that.
No, because it's impossible to waste your life unless you are literally murdering people. You're not wasting your time. Because, frankly, I mean, yeah, you could go... What could you do? What would be a brilliant thing? You could go and design a fucking new type of suspension bridge or something. What was the fucking point of that? Ultimately, when you look at the breadth and the size of human history, like I was saying about Spielberg, so fucking what? He's a collection of atoms, as is everything. So you might as well do what the fuck you like.
Okay. Just saying, you know, maybe you and David Mitchell, Jimmy Carr, Laura Nevers could get together and, you know, solve some problems in the world.
Well, instead of just going, here it's difficult, who aren't politicians, all wankers. Yeah. I know.
Yeah. I know, I include myself in this. Anyway, let's have a competition, then we can go home. So what we're going to do, how this works, is you can win all this amazing stuff. We're going to make some statements that are either true or false. You have to decide what you think they are. I need you all to stand up, but don't do it yet, because otherwise it'll make a big noise and you won't hear what I'm saying. And so if you think the statement's true, put your hands on your head. If you think it's false, put your hands on your bottom. If you get it wrong, you have to sit down. And then whoever's left at the end will win these amazing prizes, and they would have won some merchandise from Charlie Brooker, but he didn't get the message till too late.
I know. And I was standing by him. Cupboard full of amazing things, expensive things, rare
but hey,
things.
Andrew Collins audio book that costs £5 on WW Go Faster Stripe. You can Chris Evans, who he made too many of them. He, you know that thing where you can scan the barcode into your computer and then it'll tell you how much you can sell it for.
Yeah.
Chris Evans tried that with the bloke who runs Go Faster Stripe. Tried it with where did it all go right? Andrew Collins, hoping you could get rid of some of them like that, but they don't let you sell loads at once.
Really?
Yeah. So
fucking hell.
He has quite a few. So you know, he uses them literally as ballast when he sends me DVDs. I'm just being deliberately cruel to Andrew Collins. It's all right. It's only a joke based on truth. So right, we need to stand up and then we'll make some statements and then we'll do it. You have to, it's self-policing. You can win those tickets. You can buy this. I wrote down where it was. Elliot Line. I thought that geniuses should be able to work out this is, but if you go to lulu.com/shop, you can buy it either as physical book or as an ebook. It's only for geniuses. I emailed him and said, I thought if they had genii, they would be able to find it themselves. And Elliot Liney tweeted me back and said, it's geniuses, not genii. I thought I was trying to get in with him because he's a genius.
I thought it was genii.
Oh, yeah, no,
he's not making it up.
Not according to him, and he's written a very clever puzzle compendium. How many copies of your Screen White book do you sell?
I actually don't know. I genuinely don't know.
He told me he'd sold one extra copy more than usual after he'd been mentioned for 4 weeks in this podcast. So the first statement of truth or falsehood is that Engelbert Humperdinck, who failed to win at the Eurovision Song Contest, is named after a German composer best known for his opera Hansel und Gretel. Is that true or false? Hands on your head if you think it's true. Hands on your bottom if you think it's false. It was an easy one to start with. It is true. So if you said false, sit down. My wife's out. Which is probably a good thing. I think if she won the tickets. Have you got a statement?
It's a ruthless way of...
It is ruthless. It's nice how they all just... If I was out there, I'd just pretend I'd got it right. But they all...
They all do it. They're like sheep. It's amazing. They're idiots.
You can't say
they're
that.
They're all idiots.
Pliant. Fucking pliant.
They could win
scum.
All this stuff.
A statement. I haven't got
can
one.
Can be about anything. I don't have to have it written down. Can be about yourself. A secret about yourself. Don't even have to be secret. Then you can reward your fans if it's something people know.
I grew up in a village called Crowmarsh. True or false?
True or false? I don't know. A lot of people just going for true, hoping it'll be true.
Well, you're fucking wrong.
Sit down, that got rid of
it. Jesus Christ!
Where did you grow up?
Is that the way it's meant? A village called Brightwell cum Sotwell. Do you know, it's got the word better. Cum in the middle of it.
Did it, true or false, Engelbert Humperdinck, who...
These are mainly Humperdinck-based.
He got married to a show jumper. Is that true or false? Engelbert Humperdinck married a show jumper. True or false?
It's like a hostage scenario. All these people with their hands on their head or their arses.
It is true. Patricia Healy. He married Patricia Healy, the show jumper. That is congratulations. You seem very sure that it went straight up there. Have you got another one? Doesn't have to be Engelbert Humperdinck.
You do. I can't think of that.
I'll
many.
Do one. During the interval, I was just checking the BBC news site and got the very sad news. So it's not really appropriate much to do this as a trap, but we got the very sad news that the newsreader Kenneth Kendall has sadly died. Is that true? Come on. Is that true? If it's true, you're going to feel bad. Is it true or false? That is false. That one. That is. I do that one every week. If you were a regular listener, you would know. That is to weed out the idiots.
Kenneth Kendall.
He's very happily still alive. He's in his 90s. He lives on the Isle of Wight with his
dog,
his partner.
Oh, okay. Could be the same thing. I don't know.
I did it all through Edinburgh, and one of Kenneth Kendall's relatives got in touch with me quite angry that I was doing it.
Really?
Then I explained that it wasn't. I think they thought I was laughing.
You should have pointed out that Kenneth Kendall wasn't a proper newsreader. They used to just, genuinely, they were just actors then. They were. It was like Michael Aspel was a newsreader.
Don't say that now, they're going to get in touch with me again. This is like the end of a football match. The people who have lost are leaving in disgust.
But I can't believe
I haven't got.
Well, no, it goes to show what a genius Kenneth Kendall was, that we were so fooled that he was a
Keeps bees.
Does he?
Yeah.
What a lovely man. Yeah. What a lovely living man. He lives forever.
I hope he does as well. I'll give you another one. Youth goalkeeper Ben White has been released from York City as a player from York City Football Club today. Is that true or false? I support York City, the finest team. Well, a lot of people gone for true. If this is false, there's going to be some red faces. Maybe people have looked up at the squad. It is true. Sit down, that lady there. Have you got another one?
Yeah. Oh God, no.
No.
What the fuck? I didn't do my prep. Could be literally anything.
You can make something up. That's the thing. But don't make the next one true though, because they'll be expecting you to have made it up.
Sherlock Holmes is buried in Camden Cemetery.
Is that true or false?
Hey, I have fooled people with that before.
Not the clever people of the Wikipedia audience tonight. They've all gone for false. Unless that is true, there might be someone else called Sherlock. It might have been a very clever double buff. Engelbert Humperdinck was born in Madras, and he is one of 10 children. Is that true? True or false? A lot of people trusting the insane woman. And remember, she only shouted out yes halfway through the question. It is true. I've got rid of one more person again. Are there any secrets from your childhood you'd like to share?
What I should have been doing was thinking of another one. You were doing that. Fucking hell, I'm an idiot.
The member of the Buranski Babushki, who is older than Engelbert Humperdinck, is called Natalia Pugalilova. Is that true or false? It is true, like all my Engelbert Humperdinck fans. So I've got rid of loads there.
Oh,
How many are we down to? Is it down to two, three? You're still in?
I've got one.
Okay, this could be it. This could be it. It's fucking through. We could have been talking about something interesting when we were doing. Thrilling.
Fisherman. Fishermen, Baltic fishermen used to believe that if a dead sea cow washed up on the shore, you had to have sex with it or its sister would come out and drag you to sea. Is that true or false?
True or false? Well, it seems one man has gone for true, two have gone for false.
It was actually Eritrean fishermen.
Oh! So the falses are still in. I thought we were there. We're not there. We've still got one more question to sort the men out from the boys.
That's true. That's a true fact. It was Eritrean fishermen.
That is good. That's a good one. Elliot Lyne, who wrote the book The Very Clever Puzzle Compendium, a member of Mensa, he, as well as writing puzzles, he is a professional golfer. Is that true or false? Gone. It's brilliant. It's the perfect scenario. One's gone for true, one's gone for false. Don't know anything about him, so I'm guessing that he is not. So, sir, you have won, which is lucky because you're near the beginning. You've won all that stuff. Oh, the tickets are inside the book. I hope you had a nice time. Thank you very much for coming. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time. There are tickets available for David Baddiel and Nick Frost from off of Shaun of the Dead and all those. So that'd be well worth seeing. But please give it up for my amazing guest, Charlie Brooker, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Goodbye. Go away.
You have been listening to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with my special guest, Charlie Brooker. The music was played by Pest. They were good. That's an unpleasant name, isn't it, for a band when you think about it. Thanks very much to Orange Mark and everyone at the British Comedy Guide, and to my producer, Ben Walker. This is a Fuzz and Sky Potato joint production. How'd you like them Sky Potatoes? I hope you've enjoyed listening to my podcast from the Leicester Square Theatre. It's free. That's nice, isn't it? If you liked it and want to give something back, then there's lots of ways you can do that. You can buy my merchandise from GoFasterStripe.com, including my book, Talking Cock, which has just been released, and the Fist of Fun DVD of the first series of Fist of Fun. Some of the money from that will go to Stuart Lee, so do think carefully about that before you purchase it. You could also get tickets to come and see me at the Edinburgh Fringe in either Talking Cock, The Second Coming, or in Richard Herring's Edinburgh Fringe podcast. Go to edfringe.com for details of that. You can get your name in the Edinburgh Fringe programme if you go to justgiving.com/talkingcock and donate at least £15 to Scope, and your name will go down literally in history. There's probably some other stuff as well, but whatever you can do to pay back is a lovely thing to do. You can also listen to Ben Walker, our producer's other podcast, Do the Right Thing, which is on iTunes. See if you can get out of the charts a bit. You know, it's struggling a bit. It didn't win the Chortle Best Internet Podcast, so it needs as much help as it can get if you want to help the producer. But otherwise, just tell your friends about this podcast. That would be lovely. Spread the news. And that is all I need from you. So go away and prepare for government.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.